Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from Colossians chapter 1. Since this is the end of the church year, it's nice to be able to stand at this point and look back on where we've been over the past year. And certainly Paul, through this passage, helps us to see what is the thing that has been true no matter what the season, no matter what Sunday it is. It's true that Jesus is our Lord, that Jesus is our King. That's what holds everything together. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1995, a singer by the name of Joan Osborne released a song that made her famous as one of the greatest one-hit wonders of the 90s. It was a song that dealt with the question of God and how God relates to people here on earth. And even if you've never heard of Joan Osborne before, I'm guessing that you've probably heard this song at some point, maybe on the radio or something like that. The chorus asks a bunch of really important questions. What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us? Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home? Okay, I know some of you are going to have that stuck in your head now the rest of the day. Sorry about that. The verses to the song ask even more questions. If God had a name, what would it be? If God had a face, what would it look like? And I'm sure Joan Osborne thought that she was really clever with these lyrics, you know, trying to get her listeners to think about what it would be like to interact with the God of the universe if he were to somehow be like one of us. That song is about 25 years old now, and I'm guessing there are still people that are discovering it for the very first time and thinking that this is really deep, really thoughtful, something that nobody's ever really thought of before. And meanwhile, all of us Christians are kind of over here saying, have you met Jesus? What Joan Osborne and many 90s music fans forget is that this is not an original idea at all, not even close. The whole subject of God becoming one of us in the person of his son Jesus Christ is kind of the whole basis for the whole gospel. And it's certainly the subject of today's epistle reading from Colossians chapter 1, talking about Jesus of Nazareth, a true human being who maybe was never a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home, but he certainly was like us. He walked, he talked, he ate, he breathed. He was in every way one of us, except without sin. And Paul writes these words about him in this passage. He is the image of the invisible God. In him all things hold together. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. For the Christian, there's absolutely no question what it would be like if God was one of us. It's actually pretty simple. It would be like Jesus. What would it sound like? It would sound like Jesus. What would God act like? He would act like Jesus. The Gospels make that pretty clear. The epistles make it even clearer. Jesus is God among us. I mentioned a couple times that today's the last Sunday of the church year. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but there's another nickname that is sometimes given to this Sunday every year. Some people call it Christ the King Sunday. And it doesn't really matter what you call the day. The whole point is the same either way. As we wrap up this whole year, as we think back on where we've been, and we start over with Advent next Sunday, we think about how Jesus is King, that he is sovereign over all creation. And so we have this opportunity today to sort of reflect back on that and to see how that idea of Jesus as King, how that really is the thread that really holds the whole church year together. Every single season of the church year focuses on the fact that Jesus is King in one way or another. Think about how, you know, next week we're going to start Advent. and Advent and Christmas, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the fact that Jesus the King was born in Bethlehem to be our Savior. Later on in the Epiphany season, Jesus is revealed as King to the world. Then you come to Lent and Holy Week. We see that Jesus, the King, exchanges his glorious crown for a crown of thorns for you and for me. But then quickly comes Easter, right? And Jesus the King is raised from the dead and exalted on high. And then after that, you get Pentecost and this long green season, right? That lasts almost the whole summer and most of the fall. We still got our green on today too. And in that Pentecost season, the Holy Spirit takes this kingdom of Jesus and he brings it to you and to me as individuals. So even though we don't even deserve to be the least in Jesus' kingdom, we are given the blessings of being Jesus' royal subjects and living under him in his love and in his protection and his grace. So the fact that Jesus is King runs through our whole lives, our whole calendar, no matter what Sunday or season it happens to be. But the amazing thing about Jesus' life, when he was here with us on this earth, his life didn't look like he was a king, did it? What kind of a king would be born among dirty, smelly animals in a manger in Bethlehem? You would expect a king to be born in the big city, right? In Jerusalem, in the palace with all of the comforts of the day. What kind of a king would be raised in a tiny village like Nazareth in Galilee? What kind of a king would spend time as an adult with tax collectors and prostitutes and so-called sinners? What kind of a king would look like what we saw in our gospel reading today in Luke chapter 23? What kind of a king would be crucified like a common criminal? Mocked and beaten and tortured, placed on the cross for you and for me. Who in their right mind would bend their knee to somebody like that? Are we just crazy? Paul doesn't seem to think so. Because again, Paul says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Paul says that Jesus is the one by whom all things were created. Just like there were a lot of people who didn't recognize Jesus as their true king back then, there are certainly a lot of people who think that's a tough sell today. And yet, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is king. So what we could say, because a lot of people don't recognize Jesus as king, we could say that Jesus is sort of an incognito king. He's sort of like an undercover king. He is God, but he's God with skin on, right? He is the Word, but he's the Word made flesh who dwells among us. And there's a lot of people who look right at Jesus. He's right in front of their faces, and they don't recognize who he really is. It sort of reminds me of another prominent figure from the 90s. Back when everybody was listening to Joan Osborne's music, the whole world was also paying attention to a guy named Tony Hawk. He was a professional skateboarder. Some of you remember that name, Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk was one that everybody knew who he was. Everybody paid attention to his career, but it's not 1995 anymore, in case you haven't noticed. And so these days, Tony Hawk, on his Twitter feed, he likes to post when he runs into people out there in the world who have no idea who he is. It's actually a lot of funny. It's really funny. He kind of makes fun of himself, and it's fun to pay attention to it. So one of the things that I saw recently was when he was at the airport, and he was interacting with a TSA agent, and they look at his ID, and this lady is like, huh, Anthony Hawk. Huh. You mean like Tony Hawk? You mean like the skateboarder? And he's like, yeah, exactly. And she says, cool. I wonder what he's up to these days. If you're on Twitter, go ahead and give Tony Hawk a follow. He's pretty funny. But you know, Jesus is kind of like this too. There's so many times when Jesus is right there in front of our faces. He's doing his work in the world. He's doing his work in our own lives. There's times when we remember that Jesus is with us every single day, every single moment, and yet, because we can't physically see him, things happen in our world, in our lives. We start to look around wondering, where is Jesus? I wonder what he's up to these days. When life gets hard, when things don't go our way, we might wonder if, you know, maybe God should show up and be one of us here in Hoyleton, Illinois. Maybe that would really help things in my life right now. When we start to think that way, and when we struggle with, you know, not being able to sense the presence of the Lord in our lives because of whatever's going on, it's helpful, especially on a day like today, to remember that we can say with complete and utter confidence that Jesus is already here. Paul says that we are Christ's body. Later on in this letter in 1 Corinthians, way later in chapter 12, Paul's going to say, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So all of us individually represent Christ in the world. Wherever the church is, there Christ is. Wherever the word of God is proclaimed, there Christ is. Wherever the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion are administered and received, there Christ is too. And if Christ is here, and if we are the ones who make up his body, then we don't need to worry about not recognizing him. In fact, the cross of Christ the King has been lifted up high as the standard and calls all of the children of the kingdom home. You can't miss it. You won't miss it. God has promised that. There's nothing that can pluck you out of the Father's hand. There's nothing that can separate you from the kingdom of Jesus. He is your true King. He is your true Savior. He will be forever. And since Christ dwells among us, that means now we have the honor and the distinction of living, striving to live as Christ in the world. And if we're going to live like Jesus, that means that we're probably also going to be a little bit incognito and undercover in our lives too, because the world doesn't recognize the church either. Just like the world didn't recognize Jesus, the world doesn't recognize us. And we might be viewed as judgmental, hypocritical, behind the times, irrational. We might be mocked just like Jesus was mocked. We might be persecuted just like Jesus was persecuted. In some parts of this world, we might even be killed just like Jesus was killed. But when Jesus was treated this way, how did he respond? He didn't go off withdrawing from the world, hiding like a monk in a cave somewhere. And he didn't retaliate with physical force and beat up everybody who didn't believe in him either. He responded in love and in service to his people. And that's how we, as Christ's body here on earth, are called to respond as well. The really good news is that as members of and servants in Christ the King's kingdom, we should never forget that a day is coming when none of this will be undercover and incognito anymore. A day is coming when the King will return and we will experience all of that love to the fullest. A day is coming when Jesus will appear in the clouds with great glory and everyone will see him and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All hail the King of Kings. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.